Would you introduce yourselves, please?
Hi, this is Robbie from The Big Pink.
Hi, I'm Mary from The Big Pink.
Actually, in all of this, other than being partner in crime, there isn't a lot there yet. So give us in one, we'll pretend we're MTV. Give us the 1 minute, Mary.
I'm a girl about town. I have a night job and a day job. At night, my alter ego comes out, and I don't think Robbie's met her yet. And I don't let many people meet her. I just got a double
but
life.
People are already doing the, well, they were, back then they were synth-based and blah, blah, blah. And then 3 years later, everybody is writing, you know, The Big Pink V2 is heavier. But the fact of the matter is that when you played live, and you play live now, you were always heavier. If it's really V2, you wouldn't have kept it as The Big Pink.
I think it's just a development. I think I like to think of it as filtering out all that I don't like from what I've done before, and it's just it's a heightened sense of what The Big Pink is about. I think it's the same thing. It's synths, big guitars, beats, you know, big choruses, nice melodies. It's again just another progression from all the influences that I had on my first record. You know, I think it's got that British, you know, Britpop thing. It's got the hip hop Wu-Tang early stuff that I like, the Beastie Boys, N.W.A. It's even got a bit more modern hip hop now, I guess. And things like, you know, that the kind of future Drake, you know, Young Thug type kind of programming, maybe a bit of Run the Jewels in there. And then it's got the guitars, man. It's just all about the guitar. The guitars.
But when you, one of the things you talked about, and you've said this in an interview recently, is that previously, I'm going to do this in the full announcer voice because it's kind of fun, that the band was a revolving door. Yeah. So where was that sea change, that moment where you woke up one morning, aside from a partner in crime leaving, which is certainly one good way to get out of the revolving door. But just because someone leaves doesn't mean that you change your habits, right?
I think that now, you know, it's a weird thing. It's like, you know, we've been through so many different band members and Big Pink members. And, you know, I am the only original member, you know, that started in 2009. But I just think now it's, you know, it's about that feeling of kinship on stage when you really, like, when you can really, like, rely upon the people either side of you and behind you just to be on the same page and get and understand that emotion, you know what I mean? That kind of lust for you know, your vision, you know, or the vision of what we're trying to project, you know. And it's when you find people like we're playing with at the moment, it's amazing. You feel better. The music sounds better. It really does. The music sounds better. I feel better. I haven't been this positive about the lineup of The Big Pink, I think, in a very, very long time. So I'm stoked. I couldn't be happier.
Where did you come into the mix? And then being in the mix as also being a couple, and getting taken seriously and all that fun stuff. Let's talk about that for a second.
I mean, it all started when you were recording the third album, right? And then Robbie needed someone to do vocals on it. And I've always been into singing, but I've never done it professionally. And then Robbie kind of just taught me, like made me feel comfortable. And then, so I did the singing. And then when it came to putting the band together, he just said, well, it makes sense for you to be in it. You know, like, we're best friends. I mean, you're on the record. Why would you not be in the band?
Have you ever actually said, I've never heard you talk about this way before, though. I don't know if that's real.
Yeah, well, no one really asks fun questions or interesting questions.
But wait a minute. But that's way too bizarre, because you are up there and you do sing on, I mean, so how could it be inconsequential? It's not inconsequential by any stretch of anyone's imagination.
I think people do ask the questions like this, but like they don't really talk about the creative part and how it started.
But that's the only part that counts.
My girlfriend's a bit jealous from time to time, but it's okay. She doesn't like when we go away on tour together.
Which girlfriend? Yeah.
My girl, you know, the other girlfriend.
Get away.
you've got the new EP, and I want to kind of really dissect all of this because, and again, I'm confused by all of the way that this gets asked. There is a full album. You made the full record, but then you made the EP, and then you've said that as a result of making the EP, you're now going to have to go back to the album and rejigger the album. So I am real, but I know a lot, but I'm totally, you see the look on my face? That look of total confusion? Help me out.
Okay, well, we wrote and recorded an entire album, like a very cohesive, you know, start to finish record, almost a concept record in a way. And then the idea to do an EP kind of blew that out of the water a little bit.
But where at that moment, how does an EP invade an album? That's kind of like a small town invading a country.
Well, it's like the idea was to kind of give a taster of the album to kind of like, I don't know, the idea of an EP, I guess, is to kind of reignite build.
Oh, no, EPs are the grooviest thing in the world. That's what bands do now. Bands, putting out an album is dangerous, man. You put out a single and an EP, right?
Yeah. And it's like, and I guess, you know, but the problem is now I would feel like I'm cheating everyone if I'm then just release an album with the four tracks from the EP on it, you know. But so,
right, because then they're only getting, yeah, I get it.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? So now I'm thinking like, well, you know, and it's kind of put us in a little bit of a difficult situation where it's like, you know, I don't want to, like, I respect the process of an album, you know, I respect the creative nature of when I wrote the record with Mary. You know, it was like it was something that happened together and it was recorded together and it has the continuity of all the songs. So now it's like we're in this situation, we've kind of blown a hole in the middle of it, which we now need to fill. But is that, like, I don't think that's a very natural way of doing it. So that's why we're actually considering maybe releasing another EP and then releasing a whole new, brand new record that I have to...
You could pull four tracks from the album and...
Yeah, but like put another four tracks in the album.
B-sides and voila.
Yeah, we're done. Yeah. And then write another record that we're going to, like, over the summer, which I think we might do.
I've got material, so that doesn't hurt. Yeah. Now, just going deeper into the rabbit hole, did Alan Moulder mix the album or just the EP?
He did half the album, so he did six tracks on the album.
So okay, so let's get like geeky here. When you bring someone like him in, you're going after a sound.
Yeah.
So you have half an album. Who did the other half of the record?
It stands unmixed.
Ah, so he's done half of so that's a whole nother reason to. But he also did the EP.
Yeah. He did the EP. Well, the EP, yeah. He mixed half and four tracks from the six that he did, we put out as the EP.
Okay, so now let's see if you remember this. This is interesting because you said something back in 2012 that I have literally used ever since in a lot of conversations. And you ready for this? You've talked in the past, way back then, you talked about the band having a mission statement. Bands don't tend to do, you know, like U2 had a mission statement, but very few bands did that sort of thing. So as a result of that mission statement, and you have talked about this again recently, one of the things you said is that based on your mission statement, that your first album was your sophomore album and your sophomore album was your first album. Yeah. Now, as a result of all of that, when you're looking at what you're doing today, yeah, what's this new album going to be? What year in high school are you going to be in? Because you've already been a sophomore, you've already been a freshman.
Because in England, we don't say that. What is sophomore the youngest?
My daughter is a freshman. Okay. She's 14. Okay. Next year, she'll be a sophomore. Then you're a junior, and then you're a senior.
Okay. Can I be in college on this record?
Yeah.
Good.
Robbie's always so pissed he didn't go to an American school. He really wishes that he went to a college and he could have been a jock and got all the hot girls. He's really upset.
Yeah, you know what, Robbie, let me tell you something. Yeah. It's not what it's meant to be. All right, let's talk some music because I'm going to talk about one song, and not the single, but I want to talk about Beautiful Criminal. That thing is like, now, as an example, right, of like what is a big Pink song, right, and what's the filter? So that's one that's like over here. That's kind of on the edge because that's like the sexy slow dance, right?
Yeah, that was the one I wrote the most of, actually, didn't I? I wanted to do a sort of song that a stripper would dance to, a sexy song for a stripper. Did I? Okay, good. And Robbie jumped straight on board with that and took it to another place.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, totally. It was definitely the first. It's the first time we've done like a proper duet between me and Mary. You know, I mean, there's one.
And it's mixed as a duet too. Yeah. It really is.
Yeah, her vocals like very up in the mix.
Yeah.
It's the first time she's been like a full singer rather than the backing vocalist on the.
More of that to come, I take it?
Yeah, actually, weirdly, you say that a lot of, we've written a couple more songs that, because we've been writing to fill this gap after this EP, and we've got another song that's very much like Mary's vocals right up there. I'll tell you a good story, if you want, about Mary's vocal. We're in the studio with Alan Mulder, and he brings us in, and he's like, he looks like really perplexed, right? And he's like, I just don't get it. I don't understand what's going on with your vocals. And we're like, is something wrong? You know what I mean? And he's like, no, it's not something wrong. It's just like, your vocal, he's pointing at me going, your vocal's so thin and high sometimes. And I'm like, yeah, fuck that. And you know what I mean? And he goes, no, I'm saying that as an example. I'm just telling you what, like, okay, your vocal can be thin and high. So I have to like put in a lot of this bottom end to like make it have some presence, right? But with Mary's vocal in it, right? It fills up the bottom end of my vocal frequency. And he was like, and he had Mary's vocal underneath my vocal. And he was like, you can't really hear it sometimes, right? And he was unmuting and unmuting Mary's vocal, unmuting and putting in Mary's vocal. And it'd be like, when it's out, it'd be like thin, in, full, thin. And he just kept doing this. Like, and it's weird, like her frequency completely complements my vocal frequency and makes it this kind of fuller, rounder picture. And that is, you know, and that's meant to be. And that's proof from one of the biggest mixes on the planet.
Let's talk gangs. Let's talk cymbals. Let's talk 90s. Let's talk again about the new, because the look and the feel of this.
Look, I mean, I don't know if I've ever said it to you before, but one of the reasons I think I'd started a band is because I wanted a gang. You know, and it was the closest I could ever get to having a gang. And I think now, you know, there is this definite biker gang, you know, I don't know, or street gang type. 80 blocks from Tiffany's. Yeah, you know, I just love the imagery and we, you know, I think we lost that sometimes, maybe around the second record. But there's a unity between us on stage. You know, with the way we look and the way we feel and the way we walk and the way we talk. And I think it's kind of, you know, we've got that back, and it makes everything a little bit more intense. I think when there's, I think a lot of people have come and said to me like in a kind of crude fashion, like, you guys are like a biker gang. I'm like, I know what you're saying. You're kind of putting it in a bad way, but. You know, I'm glad that people are feeling that
gang vibes.
But that's a great segue from gang to SOS.
Oh yeah.
It's actually a good segue because there's so many kids out there that are lost, and not only lost because they're in gangs, but lost because there's, you know, parents that are, you know, that are missing parents, all of that. So you've kind of taken on another responsibility. What was the impetus? What, again, where was the switch, the flip that you said, this is something I care about? Because there has to be something in your past. You don't just suddenly say, oh, by the way, I discovered this and I'm gonna latch this on to what we do. So I think it's important for people to understand that, because so many bands go out of their way, you know, oh, I'm going to do something for Jakarta. I'm going to do something, you know, and it doesn't always ring true.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think definitely... Between me and Mary, there's definitely I think that our families have been a bit broken from time to time, and I think especially being together, you know, that's something that I think has filtrated into like the kind of concept of the band, that we have each other, and maybe subconsciously we were like that, maybe the idea of someone being on their own. You know, like the orphans on SOS, that we wanted to maybe, you know, kind of find them a home and find them, you know, and also kind of, you know, we were very lucky to have, you know, in respect, in respect to some of the children on SOS, you know, a very wonderful upbringings, and we just wanted to help out, you know, and get these kids into nice homes. And I think when we had an opportunity, when we were, they came to us to ask whether we would be into it, and it just kind of made sense, I think, with our mindset and again, like going back into kind of the family gang vibes of the Big Pink, it kind of made sense that that's what we wanted to give kids, families. You know, I think the Big Pink is, I feel like it's always been a family. Being part of the Big Pink or listening to Big Pink has that kind of nature.
So let's see if you remember. I've invented a thing called a musical sandwich.
Yeah.
And what it is two of your songs is the bread, and then songs by other artists in between.